Gonna have a great service tonight, going through great chapters in the Bible. Hope you'll be here tonight at 6:30. Almost every Sunday, I'm gonna do a different chapter all through this year as we honor the Bible and this 400th anniversary of the King James Version of the Scriptures. Today, I'd like us to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 through 33 to begin with. I want to speak this morning on the subject of play hurt. Play hurt. The country at this moment is, much of the country, is quite interested in the American sport of football because of the playoffs going on. I am sure that every one of those men are hurt right now. Every one of them. As they've played 16 games and they're now in the playoffs, they played 4 preseason games and all the training. I'm sure every one of them is hurting right now. But they're playing hurt. Why? Because they believe their cause is worthy. They're playing hurt. I don't think one of them is going to go up to the coach today and say, "Coach, I got a hangnail here. I really can't make it today. I think I'll just sit down over here." It's not going to happen. They're going to play hurt. For a cause that they feel is very, very important to them. Now, in the light of Scripture, we know it's not important compared to our cause. And yet they can play hurt. We should play hurt for our cause. Years ago, I saw a picture in the Buffalo newspaper about one of our football players from the local team. A small fellow, about my size, which is very small for football. He weighs few more pounds than I do. They had a picture of him, a full page picture of him in the paper, in his uniform. And they had little lines coming out from different parts of his body. He had a line to his head, and at the end of the line it said 3 concussions. He had a line to his shoulder, and it said broken collarbone. He had a line from his elbow, and it said dislocated elbow. They had a line from his fingers, and it said 3 broken fingers. They had a line from his hip, and it said something like hip pointer. They had a line from his knee, and it said 2 knee surgeries. They had a line from his ankle, and it said upper ankle sprain. A line from his toes, and 1 broken toe and turf toe. And I don't know what all it said about him. He had played for 13 years, and some feel that he had played so well at his position that he may even be nominated someday to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It never happened. But he was quite amazing for a small guy in the 13 years that he played. I remember seeing that years ago, and the gist of the article was this: the great ones play hurt. The great ones play hurt. He went up the other side of his body and talked about all the other injuries, and then it talked about how he hardly ever missed a game. Even though he had all those injuries, all those hurts, all that pain, he never missed a game, or missed very few games. And if we can make a parallel to that, you know, once in a while the Scriptures will even borrow the word play to make a spiritual parallel. For instance, in 2 Samuel, I'll read this before we get to our text, chapter 10, at verse 12, it says, "Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good." Be of good courage and let us play the men. The New Testament word is quit. I know the word has completely changed in its definition. But it says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13, these words, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." That word quit means act like a man, be brave, don't give up, play the men. And so sometimes we have a sports metaphor, a sports parallel that we can bring, and it's right in front of us today in America. And I know there are some people that listen to this in different countries on our internet site, they might not know what I'm talking about, but American football is a very physical game, very violent game. And the men that play it hurt. There ain't no one of them doesn't play hurt. And I believe our cause is greater. Our cause is eternal. Our cause will remain when all other causes die. We need to play hurt. The Apostle Paul, in my opinion, went from being the worst sinner to the greatest Christian that probably ever lived. He called himself the chief of sinners. He's a horrible man before he got saved, but when he got saved, he got the whole thing. He was marvelously transformed. He became perhaps the greatest Christian that's ever walked the earth. And as he cataloged for us some of his sufferings, he begins in verse 23, and we see that Paul played hurt. He said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." That's 195 if I added that up right. Whipped 195 times on his body. "Thrice was I beaten with rods." I'm sure that's more than all of us collectively in this room today have ever been beaten for Christ. "Thrice have I been beaten with rods. Once was I stoned." That was at Lystra where he was left dead. "Thrice I suffered shipwreck." We have one of those stories related in Acts 27. "A night and a day I have been in the deep." That's in the deep water. "In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." Is that all? "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things which are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands." Notice verse 30, "If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities." If I'm going to glory, it's going to be in the pain and the weaknesses and the afflictions that I've had to bear for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul played hurt. You see, somebody told you that when you got saved, everything from now on is going to be fine. You're saved now, everything from now on is going to be peaches and cream. Somebody lied to you. They should have said to you right after you're saved, "Now you have a bullseye on your back, and the devil and every demon he can muster is going to attack you. Because you have gone from being a child of the devil to a child of God by a new birth, by being born again into God's kingdom, and you have inherited an enemy you have never faced before. And your life is going to take a turn, in many cases, for the worse. And things are going to be worse now for you than they were before you were saved." That's what somebody should have told you the day you were saved. But you need to play hurt. You're going to get hurt. They should have warned us. When you go out soul winning, somebody should warn you and say, "Now when you go out, you're going to get hurt." I remember a lady years ago, long time, I mean, we were just starting the church. It was probably 25 years ago, and she showed up for the ladies' visitation program. And a lady who was experienced at soul winning, went out with her and said, I'll do the talking. You just follow me and you just listen and I'll try to set an example and you learn. And we're just going to go down this road and knock on doors and invite people to church. And if we get into some conversations with people, we'll try to share the gospel with them. And she said, okay, okay. And so she went out and they went out down some doors and things. They were going all right. And then they finally came to a house where there was a lady in the house who just berated them. She was just having a bad day. And she came out on her porch and she began to swear and to use profanities at our two ladies from our church. And she told them to get off of her property and used a whole bunch of four-letter words. They had come back, and when they came back, I asked her, how did it go? It was her first time, and she said, this, Pastor, I do not have to take that. And she never went out on visitation again. It wasn't long before she went from playing on the field in church, really involved, to the bench. I think it's time for someone else to do what I was doing. I need some rest and healing. I'll go on the bench. Then pretty soon she went from the bench to the spectator stands. Well, she didn't come that often, but she would start coming to church once in a while, and she would just observe everybody else trying to serve the Lord from the spectator stands. And you know where she went next? Right out of the stadium. And I wonder about that lady that if she'd have ever heard a sermon like this today, to play hurt, I wonder in the last 25 years how many other souls she could have led to Jesus Christ if she had not given up when she was hurt and had kept playing. But she didn't. I knew of a man one time that I thought had a lot of potential. I even used him a couple times in the pulpit to take my place. When I was out of town and to go different places wherever we were ministering to in the missions, we had a couple mission works, and I'd send him down there to preach. He had a wife, some kids. He was a tremendous soul winner. He's one of the best soul winners our church ever had, but he had some kids that were kind of unruly. We're trying to be patient with them as they tried to become a Christian family. They got saved later in life, and the kids were teens and so on and so forth, and they finally just got to the place where we had to correct the children, his children, because of their unruliness. And he and his wife took such a burn to that. They got hurt so badly that somebody would dare correct their children, that they went from playing on the field to sitting on the bench, stewing. Pretty soon they were in the spectator stands around the rest of us that were still in the battle, still fighting, still playing, still trying to win the victory. And pretty soon they were out of the stadium. Weren't even around. I believe almost 15 years has gone by and that man hasn't darkened the door of a church. That man was a good preacher and a good soul winner. And I just wonder what he could have done in the last 15 years of his life if he had learned to play hurt. Paul played hurt. Man, he went through things that none of us can imagine. The catalog of things we just read about him. Earlier in the book, in chapter 4, if you want to look there, he mentioned that this was going to happen to us too. You know, I had a guy this morning at the chapel give me a piece of dandelion root. He said, eat this. He said, this'll help you, you know, your head colds and all and everything else. Dandelions fix everything. Man, I wish I hadn't done that. That's about the most bitter thing I ever ate in my life. I said, there's dirt on it. He said, no, eat the dirt too. He's put a piece in his mouth, so I did. he warned us just in general here that this was going to happen to us. There's going to be hurt. Somebody has to tell you that if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to get hurt. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, chapter 4, verse 7, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Notice that. We are troubled on every side. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Let's, for time, skip down to verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't faint. Keep playing. Play hurt. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see that lady that got offended when she got sworn at? She must not have remembered the words of Jesus over in Matthew 5 when he said, blessed are you when men shall persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely and speak evil of you. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. When people say bad things about you, God in heaven is keeping the books. There's a reward. There's rewards for those who get cursed at. There's rewards for those who get sworn at. There's rewards for those who get persecuted. And the Lord's keeping the books. And the Lord said, he said, great is your reward in heaven. But she had this idea that, you know, now that I'm saved, you know, everything should be perfect and I should be healthy and wealthy and satisfied and life is just peachy keen. Brethren, we're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt in church. You've got to understand. We got some people struggling with this. We had some people leave our church last year because they got their feelings hurt. Have you been offended? Have you had your feelings hurt? Has a friend betrayed your confidence? Has the pastor betrayed your confidence? These things happen. Have people ignored you? Have people missed seeing the hurt you're going through, the pain you're going through? Has nobody cared about you? Nobody prayed for you? Stay on the field. Play hurt. These things are going to happen. Sometimes they happen in church. Turn to Psalm 55. Psalm 55. David was no quitter. David never quit. That's what he says here in Psalm 55 and verse 12. He talked 1,000 years before Christ how it was somebody who went to church with him that hurt him the most. You know, people got this idea, well, I'm going to church and everybody there is perfect. The pastor's perfect, the people are perfect, everybody behaves like Christians. You got to get that notion out of your mind. Everybody's a human. Everybody has the same struggles you have with the world and the flesh and the devil. Only the perfect can tame their tongue, the Bible says. The book of James, chapter, only the perfect can tame their tongue. So if somebody lets their tongue loose once in a while and hurts you or hurts your kids or something like that, you have to play hurt. You can't quit. Notice what David said here. He said, verse 12, for it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Could have handled that. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. and walked into the house of God in company. Sounds like this has been going on for a long time on the earth, where people you go to church with hurt you. Prepare yourself for that. I've had people come up to me and say, "Pastor, so-and-so offended me, and so-and-so said something about me or something about my children." Now, Pastor, you know my children are perfect. They're not like every other kid. Listen, your kid's just as average as every other kid on earth. So are mine. And the sooner we accept that and the sooner we quit making little gods out of our boys and girls and thank the Lord if somebody steps in and corrects them to help make them a better person, we'll be better off. We'll raise better children. But I've had people come up to me and so-and-so offended me and so-and-so hurt my feelings. And you know what I do with them? I like to do what Jesus did. I like to turn things around and ask them a question. My question is, okay, so somebody hurt you, somebody betrayed your trust, you confided in somebody and they repeated it to somebody else and so on and so forth. What does the Bible say? How should you react now as a Christian? What does the Bible say about it? Well, usually this is what comes out. Well, we're supposed to forgive. What are you going to do? Are you going to forgive from your heart, though, and restore the relationship? Matthew 18. From the depths of your heart, are you going to forgive? Or are we just going to give forgiveness lip service? Now, the Bible says we should forgive. What's that in the Bible for? Well, so we can take it out when we need it and use it. That's what it's in the Bible for. Not only are you going to get hurt in church, just mark it down. I'm going to get hurt in church. You're going to get hurt in life. Someone's going to die. Why? Because people die, that's why. Someone real close to you is going to die. That's going to hurt. You're going to lose a job. You may get a divorce. That's going to hurt. You know, I've seen divorced people who kept playing. Amen. They were able to play hurt. I don't know how they did it. Never experienced it. I'm like Brother Maynard. If my wife ever leaves me, I'm going with her. Did you ever have a ministry fail? Did you ever get a disease? Did you ever have an accident? Did you ever have your children abandon you after you poured your life into them? You educated them, you clothed them, you fed them, you loved them. You trained them, you did everything you could, and then they just abandon you like you never did a thing for them. That hurts. We need to play hurt. Are you lonely? Did you fail? Man, there's some that have come to church today, January the 16th, 2011. Everything in their life up to this day has been one big failure. That hurts. You need to play hurt. You know, when you play hurt, eventually healing comes, eventually victory comes. You know, a lot of times in sports, the more somebody hurts, the greater the joy is when they win. The more pain, the greater the joy is when they finally win. If I'm reading the book right, we finally do win. When the times get tough, God needs tough people. The church needs tough people. We've got to have some tough people in church nowadays if we're going to build churches, if we're going to plant churches. We've got to have some tough people. We've got to have some people that will minister to people for years, and then those same people will take and stab you in the back, and you'll say, "Well, that's all right. I'll just go to minister to someone else." Not going to quit. Did you ever read the litany of people in the Bible that were hurt, played hurt? The whole Bible is just a Bible full of men and women that were hurt. They never quit. Would you agree with me that Job played hurt? How many of you ever lost 10 kids in one day? That had to hurt. But all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. He lost his servants. He lost his business. He lost his health. That had to hurt. And he didn't have the end of the story like we have to read. Even his wife's confidentiality turned on him. Do you think Joseph hurt? He was hauled off as a slave, sold by his brothers for 20 pieces of silver down into Egypt. Never got back to his homeland again, except for Jacob's burial. He had to live in Egypt. Did he keep playing? He did the best he could in Egypt. God kept blessing him. It says they hurt. Psalm 105:18 says they hurt his hands and his feet in fetters of iron. They saw the anguish of his soul, Genesis 42:21, when he begged them for his life. But he played hurt. I'm glad Joseph kept playing. He ended up preserving the entire nation of Israel. I'd say Daniel played hurt, wouldn't you? And his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they went down, they were hauled away from their homeland of Israel, where their love and their patriotism was, and they never saw their homeland. And then they were abused by Babylonians. They were made eunuchs. Look that up in your dictionary. As teenagers. The three boys said, "Sir, to the most powerful man on earth, Nebuchadnezzar, sorry, but we're not going to bow down and worship you when the music goes off. The 75-foot image you've made of yourself, we're Jewish boys, and we only worship the God of heaven." And so when the music went off and all the thousands and thousands of people fell down before the image of King Nebuchadnezzar, there those three boys stood. Nebuchadnezzar got so mad, he said, "I want that furnace of fire heated up 7 times hotter than it's ever been. I want these three thrown in there." And the boy said, "We don't know if we're going to make it or not. If we die, we die, but we're still not going to bow down and worship you." They're thrown in a fire. Thrown in a fire. The king went over the next day and looked in the fire, and there was a fourth man in the fire. The Lord Jesus stood with him. Daniel, he was hurt. Thrown in the lion's den. Paul was hurt. We read that in the text today. Peter was hurt 3 times. He was thrown into prison in the book of Acts, first 12 chapters. All the apostles that we know of were martyred. Jacob halted upon his thigh the rest of his life because of his relationship with the Lord. It was the Lord that injured him. Have you ever been hurt by the Lord? Sometimes the Lord injures us. Because in his sovereign wisdom over our lives, he knows that we may need an affliction or an infirmity to keep us close to him. Paul had a thorn in the flesh probably for almost 50 years of his ministry. Or no, about 36 years of his ministry. I don't know if my timing's right. Ezekiel's wife died. And God said, "You got to ignore that and keep preaching." She died of a stroke one day. Mary had a sword pierced through her own soul. Mary, I think, is probably the greatest mother that ever lived. She had to watch her son and all of his suffering and stand by the cross of her own son while he was crucified. But you know where Mary was 50 days later? She was in the room there with the first church praying on Pentecost, saying, "Oh God, send revival. God, help us." Mary didn't quit. She played hurt. Jeremiah. Jeremiah finally just threw in the towel and said, okay, God, you faked me out. You're bigger than I am. Nobody's listening to me. You deceive me, God. I'll never preach in your name again. But God's word was in his heart like a burning fire. He couldn't withhold it anymore. He said, I got to tell somebody. God has said. So many. In closing, would you agree with me that Jesus played hurt? Little two-year-old boy has to run down to Egypt with Mary, his mother, and Joseph. Because all the other kids in Bethlehem where he grew up were slaughtered. And he had to go from Egypt to live in Nazareth, a town that couldn't stand him. Took him to the brow of the hill that the town was built on and wanted to throw him off. So he left Nazareth and went up to Capernaum, where every single devil and his brother came and visited him every time he had a meeting and disrupted the meetings, fought against him. And he was constantly questioned by the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the lawyers. Every single word he said was put under a microscope, and he was threatened, and he escaped death about 9 times in the gospel before he was finally slaughtered on a cross. And that's just a part of it that Jesus went through. His temptation on the mount for 40 days and 40 nights. I'd say our Lord played hurt. The great ones play hurt. I want to encourage you 2 things in closing. Number 1, prepare to get hurt. Expect it. Expect somebody to hurt you at church. Expect somebody to offend you. Expect somebody to say something about you or betray your confidence. Expect somebody to say something about your kids. Expect the pastor to eventually disappoint you. Expect it. Prepare to get hurt. But then 2, prepare to play hurt. Prepare to play hurt. Because the great ones play hurt. They can do it for a cause. Football. Cannot we do it for a greater cause? I want to close with this. Ushers, I need you to go back and get the article, start passing these out. I'll read it, and we'll have prayer. Go home. It's called I'm a Soldier. Just start bringing them up and giving them to everybody. I love this thing. I've kept a copy of this for years. I read it often. It says these words, let's not get ready to go home yet. Let's listen. It says, I am a soldier in the army of my God. The Lord Jesus Christ is my commanding officer. The Holy Bible is my conduct, code of conduct. Faith, prayer, and the Word are my weapons of warfare. I have been taught by the Holy Spirit, trained by experience, tried by adversity, and tested by fire. I am a volunteer in this army, and I am enlisted for eternity. I will either retire in this army at the rapture or die in this army, but I will not get out, sell out, be talked out, or be pushed out. I am faithful, reliable, capable, and dependable. If my God needs me, I am there. If he needs me in Sunday school to teach children, work with youth, help adults, or just sit and learn, he can use me because I am there. If he needs me in church Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening, revival, or special service, I am there. I am there to preach, teach, sing, play, pray, work, or worship. God can use me because I am there. I am a soldier. I am not a baby. I do not need to be pampered, petted, primed up, pumped up, picked up, or pepped up. I am a soldier. No one has to call me, remind me, write me, visit me, entice me, or lure me. I am a soldier. I am not a wimp. I am in place, saluting my king, obeying his orders, praising his name, and building his kingdom. No one has to send me flowers, gifts, food, cards, candy, or give me handouts. I do not need to be cuddled, cradled, cared for, or catered to. I am committed. I cannot have my feelings hurt bad enough to turn me around. I cannot be discouraged enough to turn me aside. I cannot lose enough to cause me to quit. When Jesus called me into this army, I had nothing. If I end up with nothing, I will still break even. I will win. My God will supply all my needs. I am more than a conqueror. I will always triumph. I can do all things through Christ. Devils cannot defeat me. People cannot disillusion me. Weather cannot weary me. Sickness cannot stop me. Battles cannot beat me. Money cannot buy me. Governments cannot silence me. And hell cannot handle me. I am a soldier. Even death cannot destroy me, for when my commander calls me from this battlefield, he will promote me to a captain and then bring me back to rule this world with him. I am a soldier in the army, and I am marching, claiming victory. I will not give up. I will not turn around. I am a soldier marching heaven bound. Here I am. Will you stand with me? I don't know who wrote that. I like what it says. We ought to put it up on our walls. We ought to read it. We ought to read it before we go to church. We ought to read it before we go soul winning. We ought to read it before we get involved in ministries. It's going to be tough. You're going to be hurt. But the great ones play hurt. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. We have got to have a greater quality of Christian if our churches are going to stay open. Lord, I cannot imagine how many people there are out all around this neighborhood who have already been born again, but they're not in any church of any kind anywhere today because they had their feelings hurt once. They weren't burned at the stake. They were not beheaded. They were not crucified. They were not tortured. They had their feelings hurt. Lord, help us to die to pride. Be humble. I realize we're going to have to be hurt in this life. Lord, the great ones play hurt. I pray that you would just today remind us of some of the things that are needed in our hearts, our attitudes to be great. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to page 64 in our blue books in closing. Lead me to Calvary, just like Christ went to Calvary, leading me to my cross so I can die to self. And would you come to this altar and say, God, help me to never, ever, ever quit, to never go from the playing field to the bench, and to never go from the bench to the stands and the crowd, and to never go out of the stands and out of the stadium, but to stay on the front lines and on the field for Christ. As we stand together, page 64, lead me to Calvary.